And so the 50 days of transformation, we're covering different categories, but I want to share with you a key verse for this morning. And here it is. It's on the screen, also in your notes. Let's read this together. The most important commandment is this. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. I want you to circle the word heart. Today we are talking about your emotional health. We're going to learn about how to control our emotions and the things we call feelings. And so over the course of the 7 weeks, there's seven different areas. And here's a slide of that. We've talked about spiritual, physical, mental. Today we're talking about emotional health. It's our fourth Sunday. The next 3 weeks, you'll see there on the screen. But today, it's all about how to deal with what you and I feel. And so I came across some pictures that I wanted to show you that are kind of cute when we think about emotions, all right? Here's the first one. You know, when you look at a picture like this, you can immediately identify with it because we all experience a wide range of emotions. It could be joy, it could be sadness, anger, but we all are emotional beings. Here's another one. This is a happiness chart. And down at the bottom, life is good. You're a one. You got a smile on your face. Level five is you are raging full of anger, and life is not good. But in between here and here, there's all these emotions that begin to ramp up to what we call anger. And so, hey, we're emotional beings. And here's one last picture. I love this one. You know, if you got an iPhone or any kind of phone, there's all these emojis. And when you do a text, you sometimes attach a picture to communicate what you're feeling. Now, this first one is like, can you believe this? Or bewilderment. You know, like, huh, really? The second one is just hilarious laughter, lots of laughs. You're communicating an emotion. And then the last one is kind of like, well, that's really cute, little wink. And so there's all these emoji or these symbols to communicate how we're feeling. And everybody gets that. Now, I want us to understand today, we're going to talk about how to manage your emotions. It's a skill to be learned. You and I can change. We can be better today than we were yesterday by learning skills of emotion management. And so the title of today's message, how to deal with how you feel. And we all have these feelings. And so I'm going to walk through some different areas that I hope you get some insights about your emotional life today. Because God wants us to be healthy people and to manage these things called emotions. So let's get started in your notes. The first thing we need to do is we need to understand our emotions. First point is this. God has emotions. Now, maybe you haven't thought about him like that. But God, who created us, has emotions. He has feelings. How do we know that? Look at the scripture. John 11. Lazarus has two sisters, Martha and Mary. Lazarus dies. Jesus goes to Martha's house a few days afterwards, and he meets Martha and Mary, sees the grief among the family, and it says Jesus wept. That's an emotion. God has emotions just like we do. I mean, he feels. There's another passage in Proverbs chapter 13, 16 to 19, or it's chapter 6, I'm sorry. And I want to read it to you. It says, there are six things the Lord hates. That's a pretty powerful word. Did you know God hates certain things? It's an emotion. The NIV says detest, seven that are detestable to him, but I want to read through them. Haughty eyes, which is a prideful person, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, Feet that are quick to rush to evil. And listen to these last two. A false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. You know what God hates? Listen, misinformation. We are bombarded as a country with misinformation. God does not like that. Matter of fact, he hates it. When somebody will pump out misinformation to stir up dissension and discord, God hates that. We do too. But understand, God has feelings of grief and sadness. He weeps. He hates or detests certain things. But you know what? He loves. It says he loved the world that he gave his only son. He created your emotions. He created romance. I mean, this is God. That's who he is. And so God has emotions. Second point is this. My ability to feel is a gift from God. Read with me Genesis 1:26 in your notes. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Circle the words in our image. Do you realize the reason you and I feel emotions of sometimes hate or disgust or love and joy? It's because God, we are made in his image. We're a chip off the block. We're a son or daughter. And the reason we have them is because he has them. We are made in his image. You know, in the Star Trek, years ago, there was Spock, and he was all logic, right? And he would just calculate something, and it's just cold logic. He didn't have feelings. We're not robotic. We are human beings with emotions inside of us. And so, hey, our ability to feel is a gift from God. Okay, let's move on. Two extremes to avoid. I want to talk to you about two extremes. Here's the first one. Emotionalism. That's when a person says, all that matters is how I feel. Stoicism is this. Feelings aren't important at all. Okay. Two ends of one continuum. On one end is somebody who is always emotionally driven. The other end is a person who is very stoic. They're kind of like Dr. Spock. You know, they say stuff and it's all matter of fact. There's no emotion connected to it. They're two extremes. And I was reading on this. You know, some denominations, doesn't make it right or wrong, are more on this end, and some are more on this end. You've been to different churches. Some are very emotional. I mean, you walk through the door and it's like, let's do this, the music, the clapping. I mean, it's an emotional experience. On this end, they're very stoic. They're kind of like very formal and liturgical. Nothing wrong with either side, but it's two extremes. Now, here's the key. We have to find some place in the middle to manage who we are. You might be more like this or more like that, but the secret is learning how to manage how you are wired. And so there's just two extremes we need to avoid. Do you know that gushers often marry stuffers? A gusher is an emotional person who loves to share their feelings. I mean, you may know some people like that. Drop of a hat. The stuffers, you wonder if they have emotions. And you know what happens? Opposites attract. And a stuffer can be attracted to a gusher and vice versa. That's just kind of how life works. Now, totally right or wrong either way, but you want to find something in the middle. So, two extremes to avoid is that. Okay, let's go to the third point under understanding our emotions. God gave us the Psalms to understand our emotions. If you're here this morning and emotionally you're in a place of struggle, start reading the book of Psalms. You know why? There are so many emotions packed into this book. by different people in different chapters. There is fear. There is joy. There is depression. Lord, why is my soul cast down? Why am I feeling like this? And people just lay out how they're feeling. Don't be afraid of figuring out your feelings. Go to the book of Psalms. Read it until you come to the place where it connects with where you're at in your life journey. You will find great strength from that. Two verses from Psalms. Let's read them together. What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will be glad and rejoice in you. So, two examples. Fear, or, wow, there's gladness. I rejoice. So, the book of Psalms is a book about the emotions that you and I experience. Don't be afraid to read it and say, whoa, this is me today. It helps us sort through where we're feeling. So, understanding our emotions, God has them. Our ability to feel is a gift from God. And then God gave us the Psalms to understand our emotions. Well, let's get to the next section. Why I must learn to manage my emotions. I'm going to give you four simple thoughts, all right? Here's the first one. Because my feelings are often unreliable. Have you ever done something? It was a feeling you wanted to do it, and you went for it, and it didn't work out. I've done that. There's other times where I followed my feelings, and well, it worked out okay. But there's other times, if I just went for something because I felt like it, and it wasn't a good thing. You know why? Feelings are unreliable. Read with me Proverbs 14:12 in your notes. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Circle the word seems. Getting back to, well, it seemed okay to do it. And then it just kind of either blew up or didn't turn out the way I thought. But when we follow our feelings, we have to be very careful because they're unreliable. Now, last week, we talked about managing our thinking. And the statement was made, you can't believe everything that comes into your head. I mean, let's just be honest. Where do these thoughts come from? You can't believe everything that just falls into your head. You shouldn't. The same is true with your feelings. You can't believe every feeling or act on every feeling that comes into your life. It's called disaster. We have to learn to manage them. It's a skill. They're unreliable. We have to learn to discern what we should and shouldn't do. Okay, number two. The second reason why we must manage our emotions is this. Because I don't want to be manipulated. Manipulated. This is when other people can take advantage of you. Have you ever gone into a store and you ended up buying something? You brought it home and it's hanging in the closet. You've never worn it. That's me. And I said, why did I buy that? Well, somehow, some way, they got me hooked. Or you're in the grocery line and they have all these racks of candy or different things. And you're looking around waiting to go. And you had no idea you wanted to buy that when you came in the store, but you did. You follow me? Listen, there's this thing about the whole world system. We have to be careful that they just want to hook us emotionally. Salespeople, if you buy a car, if you buy clothes, you come into the store, they want to get you hooked emotionally. You know why? Once they get you in that category, they got you and they get your money. So read with me the verse Proverbs 25:28 in your notes. Like an open city with no defenses is the man with no check on his feelings. Listen, if you don't have any boundaries of how you deal with your emotions, you are like a city with no defenses. The New Living Translation says it this way: a person without self-control emotionally is as defenseless as a city with broken down walls. In other words, this whole emotional part of my life, whether I'm an emotional person or stoic or somewhere in the middle, help me to manage it so I'm not manipulated or taken advantage of by other people. Read with me 1 Peter 5:8 in your notes. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. You see, our old nature, our sinful nature inside of us, can create certain emotions or feelings. And so understand the enemy of your soul and my soul wants to derail us through our emotions. Do you know what one of the number one things is that Satan uses to defeat us? Negative emotions. If he can get you and me stuck in a negative emotion from a wound or a hurt from years ago over a period of time, he's got a foothold in our life. And God is saying, hey, I want you to get free of that. As a matter of fact, I came so that you could be set free. I came across a quote. Let me read it to you. If you allow people to make more withdrawals than deposits into your life, you will be out of balance and in the negative. Know when to close the account. In other words, if there's people in our lives that literally withdraw out of our lives emotionally on a regular basis, and they're not really making any deposits where we feel built up, where we feel stronger, it says, know when to close the account. So we just have to be discerning people. God wants us to have a skill of saying, wait, number one, they're unreliable. Number two, I don't want to be manipulated. Let's go to number three. Let me back up. One final quote here. I'll have Jonica put it up. Don't let your emotions make your decisions. Just good guidance. Good guidance. We'll talk more about it. Okay, number three. The third reason to manage my emotions is this. Because I want to please God. I want to please God. Read with me Romans 8. It's in your notes. To be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in peace. Those who obey their human nature cannot please God. Our goal is to honor God with our emotions. Now listen, when you have an emotion that's not healthy or you wonder if you should act on it, when you filter it through, will this please God? Can I tell you, that will tell you one way or the other of whether you should go for it or not. Our goal should be to please Him. Here's a quote about pleasing God. Control what you can control. I can control my emotions, my attitude, my effort every day. Listen, you and I cannot control what sometimes comes into our mind or what we feel, but we can control our response in relationship to it. And so always think, okay, let me try and please God, and you filter it through, will this please Him or will it not? Number four. This is a big one. The fourth reason to control our emotions is because I want to succeed in life. To succeed in life. Many of you have heard about IQ, which is intelligence quotient. There's also something called EQ, emotion quotient. And so they say that in the workplace, EQ, how you handle your emotions, is more important than your IQ, your smarts level. You know why? Your EQ can get you fired. I was talking with somebody this past week. We're talking about an individual, and he eventually was let go of his job. And the owner gave him three chances, three tries. And he used all those up, and the fourth time, he was out. And the person said, you know, well, he does have a temper. And what happened was the EQ of not being able to control the emotion in the workplace eventually got him in trouble and lost his job. Your EQ is very important. They say that people that really succeed in life get a hold of their emotional life in such a way they can control it, especially in the workplace, out and around other people. Read with me the verse in Proverbs 5. It's in your notes. People get lost and die because of their foolishness and lack of self-control. Listen, EQ in your family, EQ, emotional quotient in your workplace is very, very important. And it just somehow can propel you to greater success when we control the emotional life when we're around other people. And let's read 1 Peter 4:2. From now on, you must live the rest of your earthly lives controlled by God's will and not by human desires. So when you and I learn how to manage our emotions, we do it because feelings run reliable. We don't want to be manipulated because we want to please God. And fourthly, we just want to succeed at life. Okay, well, let's kind of go to this last section here. How to manage unwanted feelings. In other words, let's say we're having a bad season of life, could be depression, could be because of what somebody did to us, and we are knotted up inside. How do we manage unwanted feelings? Okay, let's get started. Number one, the first thing we do is I must name it. I must name it. Let me explain what that means. To the best of your ability, identify what you're feeling. Is it anger? Call it anger. Is it disappointment? Call it disappointment. Is it frustration? Call it frustration. And so the first step in trying to find healing is we must name it and identify the emotion we're feeling. The psalmist said this, "My thoughts are restless, and I am confused." Have you ever been confused in life emotionally? It's like, I don't know how I feel about this. And you try and figure it out, but the first step is to name it. You know why? We sometimes live a foggish life. And emotions can be like a fog. It's like a cloud that descends upon us. And wherever we go, we feel like we're in this fog. And the first step, though, to manage unwanted feelings is to try and name it. Because once we name it, we can start identifying it. You could call it this, learn to peel the onion. In other words, take a little time and try and dig down, why am I feeling the way I'm feeling? And but the first thing is to name it, identify it. Am I angry? I'm angry. Okay. Let's go to number two. This is a big one. I must challenge it. The second thing we do in managing unwanted feelings is to challenge it. And a question we can ask is this, what's the real reason I'm feeling this? Now, this is so interesting. And I want to share a concept with you from psychology. It's called transference. You've heard that word before. But let me give you an example. Let's say your boss says something to you at work one day, or a friend, and it makes you really mad. And your anger reaction may be out of proportion to what was said to you, but you're really mad. This has happened to me. And when you take a step back and you challenge it, here's what happens. Why am I so angry? And it might be because 20 years ago or 30 years ago, my mother or father or a friend said or did something to me that deeply hurt me. And I've been angry about that for 30 years. But when my boss said something to me yesterday, and it made me angry, and I really blew up or became upset by it, was it because just what the boss said? Or did I transfer a pocket of emotions from 30 years ago that I'm still struggling with into one big pot, and I super overreacted to my boss because it tapped into the pain pocket in my life from years ago? So when you challenge it, when you say, why am I responding like this? I've had to do this. I've overreacted at times. I say, why? And if I take some time, it's because maybe, just maybe, there's something else in me from a previous experience that has set me up to overreact to the one statement that somebody made to me. This is what, read with me Job 15. It's in your notes. Eliphaz asked Job, why has your heart carried you away, and why do your eyes flash? You know what this is saying? Job, why are you so angry? I mean, why are you angry? I mean, your eyes flash. That's basically what it's saying. Here's a verse in Psalm 26. It says this, Lord, cross-examine me. Test my motives and my affections. Okay, listen closely. The first thing you want to do is let God challenge your emotions. Let him examine them. And as you read his word, it's like a picture, a photograph. He'll do an x-ray, and he will tell you if you're on track or you're off track. You can get that directly from God. There's another way you can be challenged. Listen, in this case, Job's friend Eliphaz challenged Job. You may be here today, and one of the best things you can do in your life is you find one person, maybe two, doesn't have to be a lot, at least one, and you talk to that person, and you say, you know, I'm feeling this. I'm really upset. I'm angry. I'm disappointed. I'm hurt. Listen, you let another person sift through what you are experiencing. Let them give you counsel, somebody you trust, somebody who believes got good common sense, a believer, you let them examine what you're feeling. I've had this happen in my life many times when I've talked with another person or people. They help me through it. I don't always see it correctly. I'm limited. I have blind spots. But when another person has been given permission to examine or challenge what you're feeling, can I tell you, that's an awesome thing. Here's what they'll do. They'll either confirm what you're feeling, say, you know what, it's okay. Or they may say, you are just like off the wall. That's what happens to me. You know, somebody just, you know, you're crazy. I mean, you're off the wall in this. And that's happened to me repeatedly. I don't always get it right in how I feel or think about a certain situation. But another person in your life that you give permission to can challenge what you're feeling. And what they will do is help you sort through it. Either you find healing, find freedom, you get wisdom, and it just makes you a better person before you make that final decision. Remember Elijah the prophet? Took on 450 prophets of Baal. Big showdown, sacrifice, both sides prayed, and fire fell after Elijah prayed, not from the 450 prophets. Fire came down in response to Elijah's prayer. The 450 prophets were put to death. Elijah's exhausted. He's tired. I mean, it's a showdown. And you know what happens? Jezebel comes along, a wicked woman, and said, Elijah, I'm going to have your life by the end of the day, or I'm going to send somebody after you. Elijah gets word about this. And you know what he does? He runs. He just took on 450 prophets, but now after he's done all that, he's exhausted and vulnerable, he gets word from Jezebel that she is after him. and he runs. Here's the point. You know when you're most vulnerable? Is when you're tired. Somebody can say one sentence to you when you're really, really, really tired, and it can like mess your day up, mess your life up. A month earlier, it may not have been a problem. But when you and I are emotionally low, when we're exhausted physically, and somebody says something, we can get wiped out. That's what happened to Elijah. You know what God did? He sent somebody to feed him, you know, build his strength back up. And Elijah says, Lord, I'm going to call it quits. Just take my life. I'm the only one serving you. He was way off emotionally. God says, no, it's not true. I've got other people serving me as well. And once Elijah got nurtured back to a place of strength, he got back on the job. You see, the enemy would want to derail any of us emotionally, especially when we're in a low state. So this whole thing about challenging what you're feeling, do it first with God. But then, if need be, let another person into your life. Give them permission to challenge or examine what you're feeling. Be a friend. They'll be a friend. They will help you through it. So number three, and the third point here is this. We not only must name it, we challenge it, we then have to tame it. T-A-M-E, we tame it. This is when we just redirect what we're feeling. When a person has been treated unfairly, it could be a racial issue, it could be many things. You feel like it's unfair how you were treated in some place. You know, like, what do you do with that anger? And the secret is when you tame it or redirect it. In other words, you might become a crusader, a champion for other people who are in a similar situation. You just want to go to bat for somebody else. You redirect your frustration and you tame it. You somehow get it under control and make it work for good. Listen, there's some emotions we feel so strongly, but we don't know what to do with them. So you try and rechannel it. You say, okay, I feel this way, but I'm going to use it for good, and it becomes energy to somehow help other people. So how do you manage unwanted feelings? Number one, name it. Try and get out of the fog. Number two, challenge it. Sift through it with God's word or ask a friend. Number three, you got to tame it. Two final thoughts on how to live victorious in managing your emotions. First one is this. Every day, ask God to fill me with his spirit. In other words, you get up in the morning and say, God, help me to live the right way today and fill me with your spirit. Read with me the verse, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. When the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Listen, when we allow the Holy Spirit to control us, every day we have to get up and say, Lord, take charge and help me to live by the Spirit, not according to my old nature. And the second thing is this, every day do this. Ask God to help me to manage my mouth. Manage my mouth. Let's read the next two verses in your notes. Self-control means controlling the tongue. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. Listen, emotions and the tongue are closely connected. And when we learn to control our emotions, it's also controlling our tongue. In the book of James, it talks about the tongue being a rudder on a ship. And the rudder on a ship is what controls the boat, but the tongue controls who we are. So when we're in a bad place emotionally, we have to learn to control our tongue because it can do great harm. Well, here we go. So understand our emotions. God has them. We're made in his image. We have them. And we have to learn through the Psalms, hey, we're human beings. And there's two extremes, emotionalism, stoicism. Why must I learn to manage my emotions? Because my feelings are often unreliable. I mean, have some checks and balances. Two, don't get manipulated by somebody else or when you go to the store and they want you to buy. Number three, always remember you want to try and please God what you're feeling emotionally. Number four, you want to succeed in life. The skill of emotion management, the EQ, the emotion quotient, is what can greatly give you success in life, in your family, as well as in the workplace. And then how do we manage unwanted feelings? Well, we got to name it, identify it. Number two, you got to challenge it, sift through it according to the Word of God, ask another friend for input. Number three, tame it, get a hold of it, try and redirect it. And the way we win in life is saying, God, I need you to fill me every day by your Spirit. And we ask him to help manage our mouth in relation to the emotions we feel. This week in the small groups, the title of the lesson is How to Heal Your Damaged Emotions. Should be really good. I mean, I don't know if we got a slide there, Jonica. It's how do we heal damaged emotions from the past. I hope you're a part of that. I want to close with this picture. Picture the two hands. Okay. Here's my final thought. What is it in your life emotionally that you need transformed? Your human hand is in the picture. God's divine hand, that's the other one. When the two come together through the power of the Holy Spirit, he can change us. He can make you different. He can make you better. He can give you greater self-control. I need that. And so understand that whatever you need touched, he can transform us emotionally when by faith the two meet and we become more Christ-like and become better versions of who we are tomorrow than what we were yesterday. Let's bow for prayer. Just take a few moments, head bows, eyes closed, and say, let God speak to your heart. What is it in your life, emotionally, that you need God to help you with? I want you to reach your hand by faith up to his and let him touch. Just let him touch you right now. The quietness of this service, just let his Spirit bring healing and change into your life. The first big question is always whether I've got Jesus in my life or not. If you're here this morning and you've never received him, you can pray this simple prayer silently right where you're at. Father, thank you for your love for me. I confess I need you. Forgive me of all my sins and trying to do life apart from you. I believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. And he's alive forevermore. And I now commit or recommit my life to him. I open the door of my heart and invite him in as Lord and as Savior from this moment forward. And Father, I pray for every person here today, everyone listening online, that you will help us to manage our emotions a skill that can be learned through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and our EQ will make us successful people because of your grace and your power in our lives. And for this, we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.